The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord." It's glorious to be here on St. Francis Day to celebrate. We just had at 9 o'clock the blessing of several pets, many dogs and cats, and it was a lovely, lovely event. When I was a small boy, our family adopted a dog whose name was Socrates, and the dog came with the name, so we kept it. Socrates is a strange name for a dog, but this dog actually had a great philosophy of life. His life philosophy was, love everyone with incredible enthusiasm and chase cars. Simple, simple philosophy. He was a couple of years old when we got him, so I don't have any memories of his puppy days, but he was kind of always a puppy. Socrates was small, about 20 pounds. He had wiry short hair that was brown and black. We didn't know anything about his ancestry. We didn't meet his parents, but he looked like one of them was probably a dachshund and the other was probably a raccoon. So, yeah, he was an interesting dog. He was very patient and kind with my little sister, Heather. She was fond of seeing how far she could put her hand into his mouth. She got into up to the elbow at one point, and sometimes she would pull on his tongue, too. But he never bit her. He never growled. He never showed any type of aggression toward her or toward any other human. Automobiles were another story. This dog loved to chase cars, and he just loved cars. And he wasn't big, but he was very, very fast. So Socrates would sit on the couch in the living room, which was against the big picture window, and he would put his nose through the curtain and look out on the street, which was very near to the stop sign, and he had this unobstructed view of the road. And he would bark at the loud cars. Now, he wasn't barking at the loud cars that were loud because their muffler was broken or they were having some kind of mechanical problem. He was barking at the cars that were loud because they had giant engines. He seemed to prefer cars with like a V8. So if he was barking, there was probably a Mustang or a Camaro or a big Dodge out front, occasionally a Corvette. Every few months, he would make a break for freedom. I don't know why he was doing that. We treated him well. We fed him every day. We walked him and took care of him. But he seemed to think that the great beyond was calling to him. And so he would slip out every now and then when the door was ajar. And remember, this is a fast dog. By the time you realized he was out the door, he was typically pacing himself against his latest automotive competitor. And the drivers were usually unaware that a howling mad raccoon dachshund was after them, but he was after them. My dad always worried that he would get hurt, and one day he did get hurt. We found him beside the road. He wasn't able to get up. A green Chevy was parked several feet away, and the driver was walking back to check on him while we were rushing up to see him. And he was hurt, but not too bad. He had a broken leg, he had some lacerations, and we took him to the vet, and we got him patched up, and we took him home in a few days. Now, that dog was never the same from that event forward. That was his last car chase. He mellowed out a lot that day. He had a new philosophy. Cars are for barking at, not for running after. He still barked at all the loud cars, so you always knew if a fast car was out front. He also walked with a limp for several months because his leg was injured. But he got an incredible amount of positive reinforcement, petting and treats and extra love because he had been hurt, so he limped for the rest of his life. I can't make this up. The thing is, and we knew that he wasn't hurt anymore. We thought, you know, we took him to the vet because he kept limping, and the vet said, no, he's completely fine. They did x-rays again. He was completely healed, and what happened was he would limp on any one of his four paws. And he would only limp when he knew you were watching him. So, you know, he had a scam is basically what it comes down to. Later in his career as our family dog, a member of our family became very sick. And he seemed to have an innate sense of what this person needed. If they needed immediate companionship, he would hop up onto the bed and lick her face and spend time and be that warm, comforting presence. If they needed my little sister to be distracted, he would draw my little sister out of the room and spend hours playing with her in the yard or in the living room so that this other person could rest. Socrates was an amazing dog. He was my companion. This was my boyhood dog as well. He went on many adventures with me in the woods near our house. He helped me to chase dragons and dinosaurs and all the other imaginary creatures that you can only see when there's your buddy running alongside you. Socrates lived a long, beautiful life. Only rarely did he eat the garbage out of the garbage can in the kitchen. Only rarely did he use the bathroom in the house. He was a pretty darn good dog and an incredibly wonderful pal. He was over 15 when he passed, and our dad gave him a proper Christian burial. We prayed for him, and we thanked God for him. Religious thinkers have been pondering the question of animal souls and animals in heaven for hundreds of years. This question has always puzzled me. Why are we asking it? If you believe in heaven, and Episcopalians most certainly do believe in heaven, then how could there be a heaven that doesn't include each and every one of God's beautiful, wonderful creatures? Who among us wants a sterile version of heaven? Who wants to go to heaven and not find kittens, puppies, gophers, iguanas, elephants, polywogs? Our God is an infinite God. This universe that we inhabit isn't just infinite, it's actually expanding every moment of every day. It's getting bigger and more roomy. Surely, in all of God's creation, there is space enough for everything. For everything. Plus, remember that story about Noah and that big wooden boat? There were a lot more pairs of creatures getting onto that big wooden boat than there were pairs of humans, right? St. Francis taught us to ask the beasts, and they will teach you the beauty of this earth. So let's honor Francis on this day and each day by doing our part to make this world a better place, a safer place, a more secure place for all of God's creatures, because they will be with us in eternity. Amen.